The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Influence. I'm Michelle Martin. My guest, Dr. Bob Deutsch, is a cognitive anthropologist, author, and business consultant. Bob, welcome to the program. So 35 years before the birth of the internet, the late philosopher Marshall McLuhan predicted a world united by electronic dependence. Foreseeing the internet age, he articulated the term the global village. He predicted that digital media would tilt our communication towards a culture centered on interaction. What do you think? Do you think that the internet is encouraging participation, but is it also worrying because it sucks up so much of our attention and dominates our senses?
Well, I think from my point of view, the real issue is the one thing that's changed in human experience since the advent of the internet is we used to be listening to companies, for example, or others, and had no way to communicate back to them. Of course, now we have two-way communications, and most importantly, we have communications between people in the audience, so to speak. But that has produced one, and I think only one, interesting difference in terms of pre- and post-internet. And that is, it used to be companies and products wanted to be brands. Now we have a situation where people, everybody, wants to be a brand. You know, what I mean by that is, you know, like me, follow me, listen to me, show me. And so it's one change, but it's such a fundamental change. And I think what happens in this context, in the modern context, is companies, for the first time, have to really understand people as people, not as consumers, but as real people. And those two concepts, consumers versus real people, couldn't be farther apart. You know, when a company or a business relates to people as consumers, mm-hmm. they're really relating to them as a one-dimensional stick figure who is rational, linear, objective, and makes decisions in simple, straightforward ways. And of course, when you compare that to how real people operate, you're in a totally different world.
What is this doing to communities, though, if individual participants want to see themselves as brands, as you say?
Yes. So what happens is people and companies, I think, first are looking for what do I have in common with the rest of the population I'm dealing with. And I think they make an erroneous assumption that if you have something in common, that is the one thing that produces a sense of community. And in my experience, that's a part of it, but a very small part of it, and a part of it that exists at the initial phases of trying to establish community. In other words, you have to establish some aspect of the perception of familiarity. But most companies and most entities, I would say, just think that's the end-all, be-all. As long as you have some commonality, you have a community. And actually, a community takes a lot more than familiarity. In fact, in some respects, you could say what's really required for community is the exact opposite of familiarity. Because what really builds emotional connection between people or between people and larger entities is they see differences between themselves and the other, but they see in the difference there could be a way to expand their own idea of themselves. And once you have that sense of expansion or potential expansion, that's really what leads to the emotional involvement in what we could call community.
That's really interesting. Given what we're seeing is almost a hyper-personalization of the internet. Quartz has an article out that says the owners of big business use the internet to keep us spellbound and loyal to brands based on our own tastes, fueling the relentless rise of hyper-personalization, whether it's a Google News feed or a news app or a Netflix-type service with a personal algorithm. So do you think that even as the universe of information is expanding, do you think that the filters or algorithms are limiting what individuals or groups are exposed to, and what potential implications does this have on the differences that communities need to evolve?
Yes, I think that's quite a good question, actually. Again, I think an underlying dynamic is you have to be challenged by what's offered to you. If it's just a matter of you saying, I like it, I like what it is, I like what I can get, I like what I could do with it, whatever the it is, that's one level of involvement. But it's a very superficial level of involvement. The real payoff for people and companies is to go beyond that superficial involvement of, let's call it, having or doing, and have a felt sense of involvement in relation to being. It's not a matter of, you know, do we all like to play golf? We could all like to play golf. That doesn't necessarily mean we have a sense of community. Another issue is the internet, although it's great in many respects, you could say it's in some sense, it over-curates what it presents to an individual. So all the surprise and serendipity that is involved with real life and how real life evolves and expands is in some sense diminished. You know, we all say, I could say it myself about my own life. So I have, 3,500 friends on Facebook. So are they really friends? No. There's something less than friends. They're acquaintances that I occasionally cross paths with. But a community asks for a lot more than that. So what I'm saying is the internet from the human perspective is a double-edged sword. You could have more access to things. You could see more things, you could do more things, and that's great. And you could do it all by sitting home on your easy chair. But to have an idea of your own self-expansion and being challenged by others, the differences others have with you, which is the real human payoff, that is harder to come by on the internet.
So you're speaking at the DEN Summit, and the theme of this summit is networks are communities. So, are we supposed, what are you going to be bringing? What does this mean for you? Networks are communities. What does the theme bring up for you?
Well, what I'm going to talk about is community is a great aspiration. It's needed. It's lovely. It's important for human interaction, but to really create community is very difficult. And you have to know how to deal with certain things when you're dealing with or aspiring to create community. First of all, community takes time.
Yes.
It takes a focus on real human experience, and real human experience entails things like contradiction, irony, paradox, metaphor, narrative. It's not just a matter of saying you do X and I do X, so we're in a community together. So that we do X together is the beginning, but it's far from the end of what's required to create community. So I'm sort of offering a message of how to evolve past the idea of some simple commonalities.
My thanks to Dr. Bob Deutsch. And next week, I'm going to talk to him about his book, The Five Essentials, Using Your Inborn Resources to Create a Fulfilling Life. He's a cognitive neuroscientist, anthropologist, and entrepreneur here in Singapore to speak at the DEN Summit. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Influence.